For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show, DOC DHN, along with Denton Day, and one of the regulars with Coach is Ben Standick. And Ben Standick, world-class journalist. Okay, The Athletic, of course, podcaster, writer, does some stand-up when available. And the mock, he has basically taken over the mock scheduling gig that Sheehan used to dominate. He has now, you've got this deal with the GMs that you do. You probably have more, you've cornered the market, these novelty subject matters that you've started. Now, what is this? You do every GM in the league, and this is what, your second or third year with this?
It's actually the agents, GMs are fans of agents.
Okay. You got the GMs, you got all these different categories. Break it down for us, okay.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's the sixth time I've done this for The Athletic. Talk to agents on a bunch of different matters, and obviously, like, people may have this view of agents as, you know, Jerry Maguire or used car salesman or whatever, and I'm not going to say there's not some of that, depending on the person. But in general, you know, these are the people who are representing the players, their clients, but they're also, therefore, dealing with the NFL teams, the executives, coaches, sometimes they're dealing with the NFL. And they're also similar to how, like, when we talk about players in training camp, we're only looking at that one player or this one unit, and we don't really have a comparison point. Whereas these people are talking to all 32 teams. So when they say that something is rotten in Denmark, or they say, hey, this is top notch, there is a comparison point. So I use that as a way to talk to them about what they think of general managers, who's good at their job, who do they trust, what do they think about which organizations are running a tight ship and which ones are more unstable, where they think, to say, the wide receiver market's going, a lot of prices, obviously the salaries have been going up, but have we reached a peak? What do they think of Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott and so on? So that just came out yesterday, and it's always a fun one for me to do, and I appreciate everybody checking it out.
Well, no, it's interesting because usually the agents, the good ones, use us to amplify their needs, to help, you know, win the public appeal and help their athletes not be vilified, but also to be applauded. And I guess the San Francisco wide receiver, would he consider to be one of those guys that kind of fits what I'm talking about now? Because I don't know if he played this public card as well, Ayuk, as anybody in football, three or four teams he's identifying with and really used everything and everybody, including a close friend, just to leverage himself with the team he ultimately wasn't going to leave.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I guess it sort of depends on what you view as sort of how this unfolded. Like, did he get himself a better deal With this, I don't know. I saw Adam Schefter put out that basically Ayuk took the same offer that was there for some time, but his agent, of course, has said, well, that's not true, yada, yada. You know, I think, you know, sometimes in these negotiations, teams will allow players to, or and their agents to go out and, okay, go out and see what else is out there for you, in part because, you know, they want it to be clear that, look, we're really are making you a pretty good deal in our view, that there isn't, you know, something so much better, and you got to decide where you want to be. Obviously, being with San Francisco means you have a real shot at a Super Bowl, going to teams like, say, New England, who is, you know, they had the third pick in the draft for a reason, or Pittsburgh, who's got a lot of questions at quarterback. You know, that may not, they maybe they'll pay you a tick more, but it's not necessarily a better situation. So, it's interesting on that regard. I will say that when I started asking the questions about the receiver market in general, Justin Jefferson had somewhat recently signed his extension that would be give him an annual average value of $35 million a year. And at that point, the receiver market just was continuing to accelerate up. But agents are starting to say to me, you know what, I think we may have hit a peak here. And since then, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, and now Brandon Ayuk have all signed for less. This isn't like a quarterback where, you know, Jordan Love, who had a really good second half of last year, but he's barely played in the league, is now tied for the highest paid annual average value among quarterbacks. So the receiver market may have slowed a little bit, and I think that's one of the aspects of this doing this survey that I find interesting is it isn't just all these guys saying, oh, yeah, they'll just keep making more and more money. Don't worry about it. Like, no, let's be realistic. Here's where I think things are going.
So now that Brandon Ayuk is not coming here and they sign Noah Brown, what is a realistic expectation for what his role is going to be come week one?
Week one, I don't know. I mean, obviously he's in good, you know, football shape because he's just gone through all the training camp. He just was, you know, released by Houston. So from that perspective, it should be good. You know, how quickly he's able to acclimate to what Cliff Kingsbury is wanting to call will be the big question. He does provide something that this group didn't have, and that's size. That's both as a receiver, he's 6'2", but also as a blocker. That's kind of what his calling card was when he was with Dallas. It's last year he had a bit of a breakout as a receiver that I think upped his profile a bit. Houston just, you know, they just have a ton of receivers. You know, they added Stephon Diggs this offseason, and I guess Brown just sort of lost out there in that battle. He gives them, you know, again, something they don't have. And that's the thing with this receiver room. We all know that other than Terry McLaurin, it's a lot of question marks, right? But each guy brings a certain specific element. Deami is the deep threat. Zacchaeus is the slithery slot receiver. Noah Brown's now this bigger blocker type. And while that's not, you know, you'd be better to have like all these traits in like one person, you know, something like that. If Cliff Kingsbury can figure out when and how best to use them, you can get by with people having, you know, these high-end specific skills. It's just that they don't lack, you know, you don't want to have Deami run necessarily an in route on 3rd and 8. That's not going to be his strength. Or you don't want Zacchaeus necessarily posting up in the red zone at 5'8". So you got to figure out how to use these players, when to use them, and then hopefully, you know, turn that into success.
Is there a high level interest of concern for you on the offensive side of the ball that you hope to feel a lot more comfortable about by a week from now?
Well, I mean, I think the left tackle situation, you know, there was, if Brandon Coleman doesn't get hurt and he continued to improve in the way it seemed like he was early on, where, you know, before the first preseason game, it looked like he would be the guy. He certainly had the momentum to become the starting left tackle. Then he gets hurt with his shoulder strain, misses all of preseason. He came back to practice yesterday, but it was only a week or, you know, just over a week before the season starts. That's a lot of to put on a rookie who basically, you know, missed almost all the summer here to go out in week one when you have another rookie at quarterback. So without Brandon Coleman and having a better feel for him, you know, it's left to Cornelius Lucas and Andrew Wiley, two guys that we know can play and they can be solid, but there's, you know, they're pretty much at their ceiling. We know they have limitations, as we've seen in the past over time in particular. So yeah, I think that part of it is definitely still a concern without doubt. But hopefully, you know, Coleman is able to not only come in at some point and play, but, you know, show some of that potential and upside and give some hope, even with some, you know, rookie mistakes likely along the way.
Well, you know, Denton, it's we got good news today from the injury front, and listening to Coach about how he felt, but then taking the 3 days off and then going, depending on how hard they go against reps, against the ones in practice, just for maybe drills, or do you want to let it continue to heal? Those are the questions. And then Wiley, I mean, did we really get a good look at him? Those are, and I don't think Scott had his finest moments throughout this preseason. So, and as a matter of fact, I think Chris Paul probably got more quality work in than most.
Yeah, I was surprised, to be honest, about Chris Paul at tackle. I really didn't know that he could do that. Now, again, you know, I always preface by saying when you're in this town, you're saying somebody did some good things at tackle. We're not saying they're Jacoby or Lachey, but, you know, to give them another option, maybe they have some more depth there. But, yeah, that to me, you know, it's been, look, offensive line play around the league is down from where things were, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. So every team in the league needs linemen. And when you look at the waiver wires, there weren't really, like, even guys you'd be like, oh, that could be interesting. There really weren't even a lot of guys like that out there. Go back to the draft. Yeah, there were definitely a lot of tackles that were of note, but they all got drafted before Washington went in the second round, so they had to adjust. Free agency, honestly, there really were like maybe like two or three guys who were pretty interesting, but they were all either older players that don't fit for this timeline or they cost a lot of money. So this really was just a weird, bad year for tackles, and it sort of reflected with where they're at. Yeah, maybe Coleman works, and maybe the veteran, you know, the vets they have hold up, but yeah, there's a lot of questions. It's not, you know, it is definitely a big reason why you have to look at them as a team that's going to figure out how to get a tackle next year. And it's also a good example of why I thought any possible trade for Brandon Ayuk was insane, in part because, sure, he's good, but you don't build a team through wide receivers. You build it through, you know, the line and other core positions. And trading away picks when you don't have a left tackle, you don't have enough edge rushing, when your cornerbacks are questionable, that's more important than a second wide receiver. So that's why I thought it made no sense to trade future picks, and they still have to address that, but hopefully they think they have enough to get by this year.
Amen. How much do you think that we're going to see them run week one, knowing that there is a little bit of questions at some of the guys on the offensive line that you just kind of alluded to? Do you think it's going to be a run-first offense against Tampa?
Tiger can't change his stripes. Kingsbury is going to throw, but at the same time, I think it's realistic to understand that, you know, Brian Robinson, if we eliminate the word second receiver and instead say who are like the top two or three playmakers in this offense, I mean, it's clearly Brian Robinson is right there almost with Terry McLaurin. I think he's going to have a huge year. So it would be kind of nuts to not lean into him. And then you also have Austin Ekeler, who, you know, I very much want to see him in a game against another actual opponent rather than just practice where they're not tackling. But, you know, he's looked pretty good in camp, and that to me should easily be the strength of this offense. And, you know, the number two receiver is probably a combination of those two players. I could see them both getting or combining for like 80 catches this year, both in terms of, you know, what we've seen already out of them in their careers, but also, you know, with Jaden Daniels looking to get rid of the ball at times and just put the ball in their hands in different ways. I can see them, you know, motioning out of the backfield, lining up wide or whatever. So, yeah, I think the Robinson and Ekeler will be heavily featured, whether that's purely as the ground game, we'll see. But, you know, screens, passes in the flat, whatever it takes to get them the ball along with the standard carries, I think is, you know, what they're going to look to do.
I agree with you. And Ertz, to me, a healthy Ertz with the way Five gets rid of the ball, it's going to be like handing it off and keeping his jersey clean. And that will allow this offensive line to develop and just hope that you avoid injury, because that's the worst thing that will get you while you're trying to let Brandon heal and Corny get settled as Allegretti, for him to get nicked or whatever. So you can just be fortunate enough to get a rhythm going. And the way they play hard, you know, and you've seen this, they come out there with the edge and the enthusiasm that they practice with, that they are making part of their culture. That's what's going to get them over the hump. Then we'll start winning ties. We lose all the ties in the past. But that edge and what they're trying to create can very well help them win those ties. And that's, brother, that's all that matters. You know, if we're equal, that we win some ties.
Yeah, look, you know, people always ask, you know, what, how do they look in practice? And, you know, I don't have to tell you this, but, like, you know, look, it's a lot of it is not, it's just, you know, working on some different skills, and there's no, you know, there's no tackling, there's no hitting. It's kind of hard to judge a ton. But one thing I think you can judge is the efficiency with the coaching staff is putting them through their paces and the enthusiasm that you see out there. And that enthusiasm comes across in both competitive ways, but also in camaraderie ways, in fun ways. There's ways to have, like, if you're sort of laughing and having a good time, but they're not putting in the work, then that's one thing. But when you're putting in the work, but then you're still, you know, enjoying being around the team, what the coaches are saying, you're all that, and you're having fun while doing all that, I think that's where you can see some real signs of hope. And I think that's what we've seen this year, for sure. They've been pretty enthusiastic, even on the days where they were just absolutely miserable because of the heat. I think we've seen that. So, yeah, I think that to me is part of the way to be optimistic. You know, again, optimism for me is not necessarily 10 wins. It's being competitive week in and week out, that Jaden Daniels shows he belongs in this league. And if those things can happen, regardless of the win total, I think this is definitely trending up. So that to me is what I'm looking for, and I think there's reason to believe that that can happen.
Dude, we'll go off on that note because I agree with you, man. As long as you love what you're doing, it never hurts. And eventually, you'll get to where you want to be if you get enough guys that believe what you believe. Ben Standing, as Coach Thompson would say, you are simply one of the best. Thank you for sharing your talents.
Doc and Denton, always appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
That is the guy. Standing room only. I'm telling you, if that is the podcast, he's the man. We're going to break now. Denton Day has got some breaking information as we tap into his brain when we come back. Don't forget, Scott Jackson.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
/12:27 here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, Rick Doc Walker. DHing along with Denton Day, the man of the hour, who is now the king of social media. And I think this slap has been viewed by thousands. And so brace yourself for some of the comments that you will be and nicknames that you will now have to go by, Mr. Day, and most positive, I might add. You took one for the team today, and the canine community has really, really applauded your efforts and are very proud of you, to say the very, very least.
I mean, that's what I live for. Yeah, just making the canine faithful proud and icing my chest.
Heard from Neil.
It's been a while. I did text Kevin the video that you were referring to, though, and he got a kick out of it.
You heard from the coach?
Yeah, of course. We're on a he's on my Fave 5 speed dial.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. Well, he's acknowledging. That's good. Now, good. I feel that's encouraging. No doubt about it. Neil is has become quite a stranger. But again, they'll all bounce back once coaches back off the tour. That'll be it. Do you throw any shade to Prescott? Do you follow that train at all with Dak and the boys, or is that just noise in the background for you?
Just
in terms of, you think he'll get paid before?
He's not getting paid by them. If they wanted to pay their quarterback, they would have paid their quarterback. He ain't getting paid by them.
But you thought the Lamb deal would be handled the way Jerry handled it?
I thought they handled it stupidly. I think a lot of the financial decisions and the timing of their financial decision-making is dumb. I don't care how many F-bombs he drops to say that he's the best guy to lead the organization. He's clearly
not. You heard the letter. See, you and I never broke down his letter. You know, he was, I don't think we covered that. So I didn't know what your take was on that. That's why I thought it was interesting. I think he does it to just for himself. I don't know who the audience was. That's what I was a little bit confused by that. As to, he was like he was chastising somebody. I didn't know what prompted that.
Well, when you are a billionaire that lives inside his own head the way that he does, makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, well. The fact that Dak and what do you rank? Is Dak Prescott in your top five of NFL quarterbacks? Hell, you made me laugh. And I didn't even hear your response.
The laugh was my response.
Let me start it again. Is Dak Prescott in your top 10 of NFL starting quarterbacks?
There we can have more of a conversation, but it's at the very end. It'd be either 9, 10, 11, or 12, somewhere in that realm.
So he's a top 15 guy with you, no question.
He's definitely top half of the league, certainly.
Okay. All right, that's fair. Yeah, no one ever said this made sense. And everything in leverage and timing. Where are you at the time it comes out? $60 million. I remember back in the day when Isaac Curtis, who at the time with the Bengals was one of the top receivers in the league, and he was trying to get over $100,000. But again, the Bengals, I mean, it was just like trying to get through Bob wire. And to think, all that matters is that there's money there to pay you. Doesn't matter what you get, it's what's available for you to get. The popularity, the money's obviously there. Salary cap, the all those numbers make sense. But it just, we should feel good about it. I mean, it's great. It means things are moving in the right direction. $30 million, $35 million, for a wideout. The quarterback, 50's norm. And I guess the one thing that keeps going by my mind is that how much money Denver paid to get rid of a person and move on, and what Cleveland guaranteed for a guy they've never received yet. And we've moved on from that. That tells me how lucrative this league really is. Because those are mistakes that would choke a horse. They just burped and moved on. And don't let Peyton have success with the quarterback that everybody else passed on. And he regained his genius title after being considered a dum-dum. That's going to be one heck of a turnaround. Dead money? And the thing at Cleveland, and now I don't know if they're going to be able to regain that running game that they once had. But we even in social media, I mean, in talk radio, we've kind of just accepted it, right? Is the Cleveland Project complete? Are we just assuming, are we accepting the fact that a guy was paid, what, $240 million guaranteed? Was he, what, five games? And he has a shoulder injury now to his throwing arm? And they got a couple of years of soft dead money, and then all of a sudden it balloons back up, and nobody's panicked. Nobody's panicked. And then there's the other thing that we're not talking about because we can't. I'm not talking about it because we can't beat them. We haven't beaten them yet. But the New York Giants situation with Daniel Jones at quarterback. The only thing that looked worse was the Keystone Cops in Pittsburgh. And that clown show they're putting on an offense. Now, a lot had to do with the center. They obviously only have one center on their entire team. They just, I mean, it's just, it was comical. And that's the state of the position right now that we're talking about. Do you have any insight on the Giants quarterback situation?
Yeah, the guy that's playing quarterback sucks.
Okay. So you're saying we got a chance. Okay. So we got a chance. So we can figure out a way to beat them. Let's not kid ourselves. Philadelphia's got a lot of talent, but they're on the verge of mutiny because we still haven't had a clear explanation for those last six games. That's real talk. I'm not setting you up for something. Just real talk. They got a lot of name brand stuff, but you're trying to fill some holes. The word is the quarterback and the head coach are just faking the relationship that is fake. And then there's always chaos in D. So it is reasonable that if we handle our business, at least you got a shot to create a little bit of momentum. It just doesn't seem that we are slotted to where we have to accept last place. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Without trying to make it glamorous or make it something that it's not. You buying into any of that I'm selling? Makes sense? But are you buying into it? Well, hold it in after you tell me what's trending. That guy, I got to get your endorsement on that, and we'll be back. Well, we know down by the 7570, courtesy of Priority Auto Sports and 94.1, the Jackson territory is bubbling up down there. Hokies getting set. Old Dominion, I know you're in your glory. What is the vibe right now with burgundy and gold right on the verge of firing off?
You know, it's about time. You know, I'm glad the hostage situation in San Francisco is over, so we don't have to be part of that speculation anymore.
Oh, thank you.
So that was a relief to see that drop yesterday, although it did drop 5 minutes after I got off the air, which I wasn't really happy about. That would have been nice, like, you know, at 6 o'clock or something. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm ready for the regular season. How about you? I mean, I was actually in the stadium Sunday night, and, you know, the second half, and thank God for Trace McSorley making that fun, because you know how the second half of the last preseason can really drag on. And Ed Hockley's son apparently gets paid extra per flag and per announcement. So he was working overtime. He must have made $1 million on that game, as much as he was talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is a painful deal. Denton and I have been arm wrestling over. I mean, how do you fix this? And I just want to get to 18, get to 20, do anything other than drag us through this, make it like college, make them play real games, do anything to get the players to actually play in the games a little bit. Are you pleased with practice squad, how things settled out in the end? Is there any areas of concern for you right now?
Well, I mean, there's still a lot of areas of concern, right? I mean, I think we're still trying to figure out who outside of McLaurin is going to be, you know, a reliable wide receiver target. I mean, you got some guys with a lot of what-ifs next to their names. And, you know, you look at the offensive line still, you want to see how that's going to work and, you know, how they're going to be able to hopefully have a scheme in place where they'll protect their number one asset. I love the running game. I mean, I like that a lot. And what we got to see in the preseason, that looked promising. You know, defensive end. I mean, who's rushing the passer on this team, right, besides the tackles? I mean, I think that's a big concern. And I know, you know, people are excited that Jamin Davis made the team, and I think that's a credit to the work ethic he put in and that these guys are true about what they're telling you with culture and about, you know, putting in hard work. They're not married to, and I know it looked like they were just, you know, picking on the guy who picked the players the previous 4 years, but, you know, clearly they saw something worthwhile to keep there. But anyway, the NFL Network analyst. But I think, you know, again, corners, of course, you know, you want to see how that's going to all work. But the pass rush works for me is a bigger concern than the corners, frankly. I mean, because the corners, even though they could be great, if you don't have a pass rush, they're going to look bad, you know. So I'm more concerned about the corner, about the pass rush than I am all the cornerback questions. But, yeah, overall, I mean, it's an interesting initial 53. I still wonder if they're really, really, truly done. But I'm just glad the 49ers cleared this stuff up for us yesterday, so we don't have to listen to that for another week.
I wonder what DD has for you, because we have been arm wrestling, talking receivers, talking quarterbacks, and I said, well, here's a guy who has to deal with the same stuff that we have to deal with before and after these games. So, D, you have anything for Jack?
Well, Scott, what do you think that – I asked Ben Standing the same question, but, like, what do you think is a realistic role for Noah Brown, right? Like, everyone's excited to have him. I'm excited to have him, all that. But, like, I mean, he got cut. So, like, what is he going to step into it and become here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's somebody you could trust immediately to have active on game day, right, because you've seen him play in NFL games. I think he's, you know, he's probably, you know, your third or your fourth guy, maybe. It just depends. I mean, heck, maybe he's higher than that. I mean, you'd like to think De'Ami Brown's ready to be the second guy, right? But I think Brown, you know, which you saw obviously from him, and with he gives him a little bit different look. He's a pretty, you know, he's a taller guy, bigger guy than some of the other receivers they have. So I just think, you know, he's an active guy on game day. You know, and when they I think that's what you look at for now. And I guess it really just depends on how quickly him and him and Jaden Daniels kind of find a rapport together.
Ertz, I really think that early on, this guy is going to be invaluable. Any tricks, anything that you think Kingsbury might hit us with that we're not anticipating? I'm hoping for a run-centric, really a run-motivated team, that they take the pressure off the O-line and start getting after people. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I do think it's going to be a very run-centric, like you said, quick passing, get guys out in space, you know, kind of stuff. And I think you're going to see a lot of two-back on the field at the same time. Now, not necessarily in the backfield together, but I think you're going to see them putting Eckler out, you know, splitting them out. And I think sometimes even with B-Rob, you can see that too. I think saw the little sprinklings of that, you know, in the preseason. And I think when the real thing starts, probably that might be more common. You know, if we talk a lot about who's the number two receiver, who's the three guy, and this is that, Eckler's going to be a big part of the passing game. I mean, and I think I would be surprised if he wasn't, because we saw that in his career. And with the Chargers, that he was a very apt receiver. And I think, you know, B-Rob's kind of been an underutilized receiver, too. You know, B-Rob can catch the ball, but
he's nice.
He just didn't get a lot of opportunities. And, of course, last year as a running back, I mean, forget it. I mean, he was in the completely wrong city for that. I mean, that just wasn't going to happen, because we were trying to set the passing attempt record, which was a very important record. But so this year, I think he'll actually get to be what he's supposed to be, you know, like the battering ram. And I think him and Eckler can help each other. And, you know, Austin's problem has been, obviously, the wear and tear over the years. And, you know, he's not really expected to get as many touches as he did before. I think he could really be more impactful, maybe, and more explosive.
Scott, it's easy to be really excited about the offense, obviously, with Jane Daniels coming in here. But when you look at the defense, is there any position, any player that excites you as we are about a week away from week one?
Well, I mean, Mike Sanistrill. I mean, listen, when you're head coach, goes out and says that after the first workout, like in-person workout, he saw with the guy that he told, you know, the GM that he wanted to coach the guy. And he's done everything, you know, everybody thought he could do. And Nick Saban, you know, saying he's the best player pound for pound in the draft. I mean, how could you not be excited about him? And clearly they had a chance where they were sitting in the draft to, you know, take Cooper DeJean, and they were comfortable basically trading him to the Eagles and knowing that they were going to get Sanistrill. So, I mean, to me, he's exciting. And then Doc Sky, as he calls him, the Tasmanian devil, you know, Johnny Newton, just because we haven't had a chance to see him, I'm really interested to see how they put – I think all three of those guys will be on the field together on occasions and how that's going to work, you know, with Alan Payne and obviously Newton once he's completely healthy. Because as I said earlier to you guys, I just don't – the defensive end position in terms of Cohen getting the quarterback is they don't have that guy, right? Although we had two of those guys supposedly in years past and couldn't get to anybody. So I'm curious to see how they try to formulate this thing to get the pass rush, because we know that was huge in Dallas and a big reason why guys like De'Ron Bland on the back end, who nobody knew who he was prior to last season, could have such a year.
I'm with you. And I'd like to know if Smoot has shared anything with you about the cornerback position that maybe we haven't heard. Because whether both guys were still waiting on them to fire, I still believe in that the potential is there. You know, one with quickness, one with length, and the whole 9 yards. But has Smoot gave you any indications right now that he is less than anything other than all still remaining all in on both of our guys?
No, he's definitely all in on them both still. I mean, he's talking about Emmanuel Forbes and obviously St. Just. You know, look, St. Just is always in the picture. He's not getting toasted. He never was a ball skills guy even in college, right? But he, you know, he's a guy who can break up plays and stuff. But he still likes him, and his guy Forbes, he just thinks it's in between the ears right now. Like, that's his thing. He's like, it's not physical. He's not, again, getting dominated physically. I mean, the one touchdown he gave up in the preseason, it's a hell of a play, right? It wasn't like he wasn't toasted. But again, Fred just wants him, you know, get the hands of the guy, you know, the line of scrimmage better. Don't let him get off so clean release. And obviously, you know, but he thinks a lot of it, you know, is a little psychological. But hopefully these guys can build him back up. Because, look, Dan Quinn's defense, as we saw in Dallas, I mean, it's been very good for corners who have ball skills. And this kid, we know he had ball skills in the SEC. I don't think you faked that, right? I don't think that wasn't a fluke or anything. And I think, you know, he was close to picking one off in the preseason that first game too. But I just think something, you know, he's like one of these kids that you just think if something good were to happen for him, right, in the game. Like, he just gets that play instead of just missing. If maybe that would just unleash, you know, some confidence in him. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much where Fred is with him right now. And, you know, look, he's a bulldog, man. Fred's gonna take care of him.
Oh, you know that. But yeah. I also know Fred knows what he's looking at.
Yeah.
And Fred knows what to look for. And only corners can do this. It's the one thing about it. If you haven't been out there on that island, then pass the baton to somebody else, because you're just running your mouth.
Right,
I don't never speak out of turn when it comes to that position. There's a whole different ball game out there, brother. You are on your own. Yep. That's why I respect
that. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, though. I hope something happens good for him early, you know, in the year,
me
so we
too.
Can see what he's supposed to be. Because, I think there is some talent still there. And I mean, I love the safeties, the group they kept. I mean, you know, Reeves and, you know, the back end of the guys, Butler. And, you know, obviously we saw what Quan Martin could do last year. I thought was obviously positive when he stayed on the field when he got healthy. So I think the safety position is interesting.
Yeah, one of the big questions on defense, though, Scott, was, like, what is – Jamin Davis's role going to be? Are they going to keep him? Like, there was a point where we didn't know that. Obviously, now they have. Well, now I guess the big question is, how much is this dude actually going to play at D end?
Right. That's what I wonder. I mean, look, he's still trying to learn moves. I mean, I think, you know, he had some good pass rushes in the preseason, but it's not obviously consistently there yet. You know, and that's a great question. I mean, how much does he play compared to, I mean, I think Armstrong seems to have the biggest role, and then Farrell, and you know, how they're going to rotate all those guys, you know, be interesting. And Fowler, who, although I think they list Fowler more as an outside linebacker, but I know he's going after the quarterback. So, yeah, I'm curious about that, because I think there was a lot of folks thinking, oh, well, they got him on the roster to be flex or whatever. But no, it really looks like they're sold on him being a D end. I mean, that's the way they've cut the roster. I mean, to, again, cut two guys who were natural ends, you know, that were here last year that played Jones and obviously Henry is now the Bengals practice squad, but I think it's they obviously have a big belief in him. But at some point, hopefully Andre Jones and one of those back end guys, Jean Baptiste, can show that they can play consistently too, because that's just the one position I just don't see where the consistent pass rush is going to come from.
Yeah, Baptiste is interesting. We need one guy to step up and out of the ordinary. And I still believe that 5'2 has a shot because of that burst. And that's the one thing that you cannot coach up. You either have it or you don't. And he's got that. He's got that ability to chase, in pursuit and chase. And he's physical. And I think he likes to inflict pain upon the people. So, hey, man, that's a lot working for him. I'm not mad at him at all. Hopeful that it'll work out. And I can't help but think that if you got in a pinch at linebacker and you've been around people and you're paying attention in the classroom, hey, you got to be able to help out a little bit on that. Well, Brother Jack, we appreciate you, man, and all that you bring to the table as always. And look forward. I know you're not going to take any time off. You're going to be on the boat. You taking the boat out this weekend or what?
No, Kevin didn't invite me, so I'm not.
Oh, he did. Yeah, neither did. Don't feel bad. Didn't get invited, and neither did I. So
yeah, neither did I. Got to watch college football this weekend. ODU trying to knock off South Carolina tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to diving into that. And
how does ODU squad look this year? Enlighten us.
Well, again, this is like, like we see with the NFL, we don't get to see anything. I mean, you literally see nothing. I mean, you see nothing. They've got 57 new players like every other school, it feels like.
Oh,
But they have a returning quarterback who's starting. Grant Wilson is actually from Yorktown High School in Nova. So he's the first returning starter since Taylor Heinicke, a quarterback here for our program, which obviously was a 3-year starter. But anyway, so it's been a while since they've had at least continuity at the quarterback position. I think he's had a good offseason. They had a running back, Aaron Young, from Rutgers, who's probably the starter. They got this kid, Devontae Vines, from Iowa, wide receiver. So they had some Power 5 recruits, or Power 4 now, excuse me, that came in. So I think that'll be interesting. And look, South Carolina's not Alabama or Georgia, in terms of the SEC power. So it'll be interesting tomorrow. I think we're only a 21-point underdog. So.
Oh, that should make for a good broadcast. So you got a lot of cue cards ready and for some sidebar interest, but you never know. That's the beauty about college, just like pros and preseason. Yep. You really don't know till you get into the flow.
Clearly. I mean, look at last night. I mean, NC State was lucky they woke up in the fourth quarter, against Western Carolina. And, obviously, Deion's squad kind of quite a scare against the FCS power. Granted, it's an FCS power. I mean, North Dakota State. Legit. I mean,
yeah, but it's strong. Well, brother, we're on a hard out, so we appreciate you, and my best to the family, and we'll do this again real soon.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. See you.
You got it. Denton Day, as Coach would say, brother, you are simply one of the best, and we go out, man, wishing all of you the best. God bless all. Peace out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.